Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Lawson. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Then he drops him. He sacks him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo! Come on, baby.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
It's the eve of free agency, and we'll talk about that tonight on the show. We're also going to talk with Bills recently signed offensive lineman Randy Colling, a native of Arcade, New York, and Pioneer High School. And Matt Miller, who covers the NFL draft for Bleacher Report, will join us at 8 o'clock tonight.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It is the eve of free agency. How big a deal will it be here in Buffalo for the Buffalo Bills and their fans? That remains to be seen, but you can tell all over the league people are getting excited. Hello, good evening. Welcome to a new week. Welcome to Monday night. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Should be a good week. Mostly because we're on the air a lot. Unlike the last couple of weeks, we actually got some radio time this week. Tonight, 2 hours coming up. Tomorrow, 3 hour show. The issue is tomorrow. It'll be earlier in the day. 12 noon to 3 p.m. tomorrow. A free agency preview with us tomorrow. Doug Whaley, the Bills general manager, will be part of that show tomorrow. Get ready to phone in comments and questions from 12 noon to 3 p.m. tomorrow. Free agency begins at 4 p.m., so no official moves by then, but there'll be plenty of chatter. There will be plenty of speculation and plenty of talk about free agency tomorrow when we're on the air live on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR, Sports Radio 550. We're on the air from 12 noon till 3 p.m. tomorrow, then back on the air on Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m., podcast Thursday, back on the air on Friday night, 7 to 9 p.m. So a lot of air time. Get ready for it. Get used to it, because we've got just a couple of weeks left in hockey, and we should have a lot to talk about tonight and through the rest of the week with the NFL free agency beginning on Tuesday, tomorrow, 4 p.m. As you know, you probably know, the teams have had since noon on Saturday, a couple of days ago, to make contact with some of the free agents to initiate conversations, leading to a ton of speculation about who's going where. Also leading, I believe, to some decisions made today on players who elected to stay with their current teams, and we'll review some of those in the next couple of minutes here. But we want to engage you. We want to involve you on the show tonight, knowing that coming up at 7:30, we've got a special guest, Randy Colling. If that name's not familiar, you should know him. I know folks in Arcade down in that area, Cattaraugus and southeastern Erie County probably know the name. Randy Colling is a former Pioneer High School standout wrestler and football player, went on to an outstanding college career as a defensive tackle for Gannon University in Erie, Pennsylvania. He's played some arena football. The Bills signed him last month, or January now, January 14th, signed him to a futures contract, and he's been here working out, getting ready, trying to make the transition to offensive line. Randy Colling will be joining us live on the line at 7:30 tonight to talk about the jump to the NFL level. He's getting his crack with the Buffalo Bills, and he'll be joining us tonight at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, Matt Miller, NFL draft analyst for Bleacher Report. NFL Draft Scout is his Twitter handle. All over the combine a couple of weeks ago, all over a preview of the draft. He's got a big draft board, a mock draft, etc. He'll be talking to us at 8 o'clock tonight. And we want to get your phone calls as well, and those phone lines are open right now. Anything and all you'd like to talk about, and the number to call, 803-0550. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We assume that you've given some thought to free agency tonight, on the eve of free agency, and that's where you'd like to take it, but you can take the conversation anywhere you'd like on the telephone. But talk about free agency if you would. For the Buffalo Bills, what position should the Bills address in free agency when it starts tomorrow? What position should be the top priority for the Buffalo Bills in free agency? I have my thoughts. You may have yours. There's also a fan poll up right now at BuffaloBills.com where you can register your vote. What position should the Bills address in free agency? What's the top priority? My feeling is linebacker. And as I said to Mike Shope on the Bulldog a moment ago, I think the Bills sort of previewed where their interests lie last week when they brought in a couple of
inside linebacker types, guys with some experience in the league, guys that would not cost a ton of money. And they brought in guys who could move to the middle and let Kiko Alonso move outside when they brought in Jameel McClain and Jasper Brinkley. I think that should be priority one for the Bills, and I'm anticipating it will be when free agency opens tomorrow. If you have a thought on that, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. I think there's value there at the inside linebacker spot. Free agency, it's not a question of anybody being cheap. And the Bills have had that big splash free agency just 2 years ago with Mario Williams. They also had, I believe, a very effective dip into the free agent pool last year when the day after free agency began, when they signed Manny Lawson, a very capable starter, to the roster. And then a couple of weeks into free agency, they signed Alan Branch, who did a great job plugging holes on the defensive line, especially when Carrington went out. So I think that's the approach the Bills will have this year. There's sort of a feeling among some in the NFL that you got to be careful with free agency. You don't want to overspend. And anybody you sign, especially early on, you are definitely going to overspend on. That includes, I would think, Jarris Byrd when he gets his contract. But what do you think? Who should the Bills go after? What position should they go after? On the web poll at BuffaloBills.com, 40% of the respondents, about 1,000 people have voted so far, 40% of them think linebacker should be top priority. 38%, pretty close, think offensive line should be the top priority. I think there's some values there in offensive line as well. 8% say tight end. 6% say a wide receiver. Cornerback 4%, other 3%. So more than three-quarters of Bills fans, of the 1,000 or so who voted in the fan poll on BuffaloBills.com, more than three-quarters of them think linebacker, offensive line. I think that's good thinking. But let us hear from you. Let us hear from you over the phone tonight. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter and give us your thoughts there as well. Let us know what you think. What position group, or even you might even have a player. What player should the Bills target in free agency this year? 803-0550 is the number. We'll start with Tom in Tonawanda. Hello, Tom. You're on the air.
Hey, why don't we just take this Brandon Spikes right away from New England? The guy's an animal, hard-nosed football player, run stuffer.
Yeah, his name's been mentioned. His name actually has been linked to the Buffalo Bills. I don't think it would be a bad signing. I do think inside linebacker is the place to go. I would have a couple of guys, including Jameel McClain, who I might choose ahead of Brandon Spikes, but I wouldn't be unhappy with Brandon Spikes. What do you like about him, Tom?
Hey, he's an animal. That game he played against us, he probably injured a couple guys. I think he got fined. You know, he's a run stuffer. Our run defense was the worst in the league.
Yeah, well, it wasn't the worst, but it certainly wasn't good. I think Brandon Spikes benefits from playing behind, at least a couple of years ago, playing behind Vince Wilfork. Didn't get that opportunity to do so this year, but I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with Brandon Spikes as a free agent signing for the Bills. Give us a call if you have thoughts on that, what position group you'd like to see the Bills go after in free agency. The number to call, 803-0550, or toll free. You can reach out to us at 1-888-888. Sorry, I lost the number here. 1-888-888-550-2550. What position group should be priority one for the Buffalo Bills going into free agency? And you can also do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. Yeah, free agency starts, as you know, 4 p.m. tomorrow. You'd like to see the Bills. I think they will make some moves. We have some people who've tweeted in cornerback. They also need a slightly over-the-hill veteran quarterback to teach these young bucks how to play ball. I wouldn't mind cornerback. I think they're pretty well set. That wouldn't be my top priority. I wouldn't mind a quarterback. I think you might be able to get a quarterback at a good price and a guy with some experience. James Mangus tweets in Byrd as his top priority in free agency. Jarris Byrd. Could happen. I wouldn't rule it out. It could happen in free agency that Jarris Byrd returns. As I mentioned to Mike Schopp and the Bulldog, I detect just a slight weakening, and now that the market for free agents is beginning to form up a little bit, I do detect sort of a weakening in the interest in Jarris Byrd. I know there's interest. I wouldn't be surprised if he signed early on, but when the report came out today that he's looking for $9 million a season, I think that opened a lot of eyes. I think that opened a lot of eyes as to what the market might be for Jarris Byrd. Michael Dash tweets in, let's hope we see a Pepper Johnson, Brandon Spikes reunion. Sal Alessi, Brandon Spikes, and Lamar Woodley, players we should look at. Wolverine tweets in, got to be a guard and a tight end. Tony A tweets in, playoff position.
Let's see. Zack Snyder tweets in, Bills could use some veteran depth at linebacker and cornerback. Okay. Well, there's a lot of different opinions out there, John, out there. Give us a call. I'm looking at a tweet here from, Brad McEntee, linebacker and depth at cornerback. Tackle and corner, says Nick Ski. Just a lot of different opinions. I think linebacker might be at the top of most people's lists when they look at what the Buffalo Bills. And I think, I do think that, here's one, Dan McCarty, who tweets in quarterback and linebacker. Pete tweets in guard and linebacker. It's interesting. I do think most Bills fans, and especially the fans who are maybe listeners to this show, are pretty astute and know that the value lies in a veteran linebacker. And as I said, the Bills already sort of telegraphed what they were looking for in free agency by the couple of players they brought in last week. Nate in Hamburg. Hello, Nate. You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you?
Okay.
My question is, are there any top name wide receivers on the market? And I ask because I would love to draft a top wideout with the first round, but what are the odds of him coming in and making an impact as a rookie? So my theory is if you free agents, you get a nice big stud wideout who can come in, he's well established and could help out EJ and the rest of the offense. I will hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you.
All right, let me look at my free agency list. I read something today which I thought was very interesting about how skill position players are going to be disappointed when they see the market for them this year. And that includes, obviously, quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. But some of the names out there at wide receiver include Denver's Eric Decker, who I don't consider a really top-flight wide receiver. I believe he is more of a kind of a second guy and no doubt benefited from playing with Peyton Manning in terms of the number of catches that he had. Hakeem Nicks of the Giants, I don't think he's done much in the last couple of years to indicate that he could bring much to the table anymore. Who else is there? Golden Tate, I believe, is still out there from the Seattle Seahawks. Bolden was locked up by San Francisco. I would have jumped on him. Julian Edelman is out there. Ton of catches last year. Again, a product, I believe, of the New England offense. I don't think he would – So I guess my point is there are no there don't appear to me to be any blue-chip type wide receivers that are going to be available when free agency opens tomorrow. Golden Tate is still out there. Seattle Seahawk. Riley Cooper was signed, taken off the market. Eric Decker is out there. Edelman is out there. These are not the kind of names that I'd think strike fear into the hearts of a defensive coordinator around the league. I just don't think they are. Some of them have been productive. Certainly Julian Edelman has been very productive in his NFL career, but I don't think any of them really are the type of game-breaking type of wide receivers that you might be able to get if you get into the draft, particularly if you get Sammy Watkins or Evans from Texas A&M. And you might have to wait. You're right about that. You might have to wait to get that kind of production. Probably not from Watkins as much as somebody else, but you might have to be patient at least with a wide receiver. Let's go to Ron in Alden. Hi, Ron. Welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, good afternoon, early evening here. You know, we had a top 10 defense last year. I think we leave it alone. We get some guys in the draft. You just touched on a wide receiver, so I'm going to change my focus a little bit. What about our running back? Yeah, we have two good running backs, but they are getting hurt all the time. I mean, it doesn't take much to seem to hurt our guy or two running backs, and they get even playing time. They get hurt. To me, it seems more than other running backs in the league. Is there a running back out there we may want? Cause I think Choice is gone, right? So we would have to maybe get a third guy that can come in and, you know, like I said, these guys, maybe it was bad luck last year and it'll be better this coming year, but at running back, and I think we do need a backup quarterback, too, to help out EJ Manuel. I'm sorry, two guys as young as him, what's that doing? You need a 30-year-old guy that's not going to be hurt in preseason for the year. So backup quarterback and a running back, no one's staying running back. I just want to know what you think about that. Thanks.
I don't think much about it. I think both running backs, C.J. Spiller and Fred Jackson, had pretty good years. C.J. battled through his high ankle sprain and only missed one game all season long and got 930 yards. So, and Fred played all 16 games and got close to 900 yards himself. Do you need someday to start looking at a replacement for Fred Jackson? Yeah. I think if you look around the league, teams are coming to the realization that you can get a good quality running back in a mid-round, like third to fifth or sixth round, and you don't have to spend a lot of free agent money, and you probably don't have to make a trade or even draft a running back. Who was it that told us, somebody at the Combine was of the opinion that unless you're getting Adrian Peterson, you don't draft a running back in the first or even second round much anymore. And I don't think there's anybody in this year's draft that would qualify for that. So, no, I disagree with you. I think, despite, you know, you said the running backs get injured a lot. Well, between the two of them, Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller, Spiller missed one game. Fred played all 16. So that kind of doesn't the reality doesn't really bear out what you said. Thanks for your call. We're taking your calls. What do the Bills need in free agency? You can ring us up. The lines are open. A few more minutes here. It'll be open all night, actually. 803-0550 is the number. Or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can also tweet in your free agent suggestions, a player or a position group. 803-0550. Or follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We got a text from our pal Dallas Miller in the Bills' social media department, who's done looked at the updated free agency poll. Offensive line now leading over linebacker. We mentioned earlier that linebacker was 40%. Now it's offensive line 40% and linebacker 38%. And you're talking about 77% of the respondents to the Bills fan poll saying that the Bills need one of those two positions. But we'll take your calls on that as well. Some tweets on that. Kari Wyatt tweets in, Brandon Spikes inside linebacker, Zane Beatles or Jeff Schwartz guard, Corey Graham, the Buffalo native cornerback, re-signed Chandler Byrd. An ambitious and pretty thorough free agent evaluation from that listener to the show. John Andritz tweets in, any truth to the Brandon Spikes to Buffalo rumor? That rumor's been out there for a while. You know, people have talked about it for a while. People have connected the dots, and even more so now with Pepper Johnson here. Key tweets in, definitely anywhere on the O-line and an athletic tight end. Chandler pulls my hair out. He probably means to say Chandler makes me pull my hair out. I don't think Scott Chandler is actually responsible for pulling your hair out. All right, give us your thoughts on that. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Don in Cheektowaga. Hi, Don. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I was just thinking maybe we should trade Stevie Johnson for Peppers from Chicago. I think that we would be one of the most feared defensive lines in all of football, and I would absolutely love to pick up Spikes from New England. And in the draft, I wouldn't mind picking up an offensive lineman and maybe a young wide receiver to pick up some slack where Stevie Johnson would, in my hypothetical situation, drop off.
Where do the snaps come from for Julius Peppers? Who comes off the field from the Bills' defense?
I don't know. As long as you keep Mario on, Darius on, and Kyle Williams on, you put them on 4-3 style, I think, you know, it causes a lot of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great player. Peppers was a great player, especially. It's just a lot of money and a lot of emphasis tied up on one position group. I don't know that you can do that. I think you'd have, as you said, a very talented defensive line, and you'd probably be hurting under the cap and in other places for talent elsewhere. John in Buffalo. Hi, John. Welcome. You're on the air.
Dylan, I just want to call in and let you know my thoughts on the players here. But first of all, I want to say it's refreshing to hear you on the radio, listening to show prior to your show. It's refreshing to hear a positive in yourself. But
okay,
as far as the player, I would go with an offensive tackle or that linebacker from Alabama. Those would be my two picks. Just want to get your thoughts.
You're talking about in the draft, C.J. Mosley. You're talking about draft, right, John? Just want to make sure. Okay, thanks for calling. Your phone was kind of breaking up a little bit there. Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the draft at 8 o'clock with Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. He's their NFL draft analyst. But we continue to talk for the next few minutes about free agency as the free agent season opens up tomorrow at 4. And this reminder, we're on the air for more free agency analysis from 12 noon to 3 p.m. on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, 12 noon tomorrow. If you have thoughts on free agency, lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. A little bit of Bills news today. News about Jairus Byrd. Word came out, according to ESPN, that he's trying to become one of the NFL's highest paid safety when he hits the market tomorrow. And ESPN.com says Byrd is looking for a long-term deal in the range of $9 million per season. Three Pro Bowls in his time with the Buffalo Bills, 48 tackles, four interceptions this past year. He could, Eric Berry of Kansas City, right now the league's highest paid safety, 6 years, $60 million, a contract he signed in 2010. Deshaun Golden of the Bucks, Eric Weddle of the Chargers, got free agent contracts a year ago that averaged $8 million per season. There were reports last week when the Bills elected not to tag Jarris Bird with a franchise tag that they had an offer on the table for a long-term deal, and there are varying reports. None of them confirmed. One report said in the Bird offer from the Bills, they were prepared to pay him, not guaranteed, but pay him $10 million over the first 3 years. I was thinking about that today. I have no inside knowledge of this, but I'm wondering if the Bills' offer that they made to Jarris Bird, we know they made an offer, looks something like this. 5 years, an average of $8 million per year with, as we just said, that one report, you know, $30 million in the first 3 years. So we would go something like $10 million, $10 million, $10 million, that's 30, and then $5 million, $5 million, that's 40. So that equals, I'm guessing here, but that equals 5 years, average of $8 million with $30 million in the first 3 years, kind of front-loaded. That would make sense. That would be a good offer, a very competitive offer, right there with Deshaun Goldson and Eric Weddle. Deals that average $8 million per season. The more you follow this, and the numbers, you know, that can be twisted either way. But one thing, one principle to look at these NFL salaries on is don't pay attention to the back-end money. What really matters is the front-end money, in particular the guaranteed money. Matters a lot, matters everything. And so the reports you hear about what the average is, and if Jarris is hung up on getting $9 million a year, well, that's kind of a different scenario, different equation then, isn't it? The Rams, Browns showing early interest in Jarris Bird, according to NFL Network. But again, ESPN.com says Jarris Bird is looking for a long-term deal in the range of $9 million per season. His partner on the back line of the Buffalo defense, Aaron Williams, who just got an extended contract last week from the Buffalo Bills. He appeared on the NFL Network on NFL AM, their morning show today. And Aaron Williams says he is ready to step in if Jarris Bird leaves via free agency.
I'm prepared to be the guy if he's gone. You know, I wasn't able to be with him the first six games of the year, you know, with his foot injury, and didn't have a chance to be with him during training camp with his, you know, negotiations of trying to get long-term last year. So if they need me to fill in for his role, we have guys behind us that are ready to step in and be productive for our team.
That's Aaron Williams talking about ready to step in if Jarris Bird leaves via free agency. Aaron Williams also talked about his new defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz. Do you realize as Aaron Williams goes into his fourth year, this is going to be his fourth defensive coordinator in 4 years? Aaron Williams said he had an opportunity to talk with the Bills' new defensive coordinator just the other day.
I got a chance to meet him when I went back to Buffalo a few days ago. Didn't really talk any football, just want to introduce myself. And, you know, to me, it speaks a lot for a coach to want to come to Buffalo to be around us guys that want to work hard and bring something special to the city of Buffalo. You know, he brings the aggressiveness and wants to have the defense be what it used to be back in the 90s. And, you know, I told him, you know, I'm glad you're here. I'm ready to work. I'm ready to do whatever it takes to have this team be successful again. And, you know, we're both on the same page.
That's Aaron Williams talking about his new defensive coordinator, Jim Schwartz, in an appearance on NFL Network today. Another bit of Bills news today, they announced that Thad Bogardus has been named the team's new defensive quality control coach. He replaces Jason Revrovich, who was moved up to be assistant defensive line coach. Bogardus is in his first year now, going into his first year in the NFL after spending the last 3 years with Ball State as a graduate assistant. He was a football operations graduate assistant in 2011 and a defensive graduate assistant in 2012 and 2013. Young guy, graduate of Elon University, a student assistant for his alma mater for a couple of years, native of Reading, Connecticut, and he is now the Buffalo Bills' new defensive quality control coach, Thad Bogardus, named to the post today. Got a couple of minutes left in this segment. We're going to talk with the Bills' Randy Colling in a moment or two. Let's take a call from Brian. Hi, Brian. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thanks a lot, Murph. Sure. Murph, I think you're right on with the linebacker slot. Knowing what's available in the draft, it doesn't really look that deep at linebacker. I believe we've heard some draft nicks talk about that. I think they really got to address that. But I hope they get. I hope they bargain basement shop unless they can get Spikes. He's the only guy who would really give money. Because, you know, a lot of these guys are going to get overpaid, John, and it's just making me scratch my head why they're paying linemen $7, $8, $9 million that were average players. And I hope the Bills don't do that. Maybe they can find value at tackle with a guy in his 30s and then draft a guy in the first round or the second round.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Overpaying, I think, is what happens this time of year in free agency. And if you got a guy that you think is a difference maker, that's one thing. In the Bills' case, we don't have to go back too far, just 2 years, to watch what they did with Mario Williams. Did they overpay him? Of course they did. And if they hadn't, he would have gone somewhere else. They identified a need, pass rushing. They've gotten production out of Mario Williams, especially this past year as a pass rusher and as he calls himself, a defensive specialist. Is the contract a lot? It absolutely is. I think you kind of, in free agency, my theory, my philosophy is you kind of pick your spots. And every 3 years, when you see a player that would fit your system and you feel that, and obviously you'd have to make sure you could afford it, you break the bank. That's what they did with Mario Williams. The rest of the time, I think most smart teams use free agency to fill in the blank with good value players. And there will be teams who, like Jarris Bird, somebody will pay him a ton of money and be happy with what they get, and they're probably going to get a good productive year or two or three out of Jarris Bird, whoever signs him the next couple of years. Somebody will be happy with what they get, regardless, if they do pay him $9 million a year. But you can't do that every year, and you can't do that at every position. Derek in Boston. Hi, Derek. You're on the air.
Hi, John. It's a pleasure to be on. I love having this Buffalo Bills app. It keeps me close to you guys. I love it.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk about the Bills organization. I think they should bring in Kenny Britt. We're talking about value. If we bring in Kenny Britt, give him a decent money full of incentives, let him see what he could do. Definitely the linebacker spikes, like we've talked about. And not go too crazy. Like we seen last year with the two pickups with Branch and Lawson, pick up a couple pieces, keep drafting the way we have been, and we'll be all right. John, again, it's a pleasure to listen to you. I love it.
Thank you very much, Derek. I appreciate your call. Thanks for your kind comments. Kenny Britt would be kind of down on my list of receivers, so I think actually fairly way down on my list of receivers that I'd be interested in if I were the Buffalo Bills. I think there are others who are going to be out there and available who have a chance to be more productive. I mean, Santonio Holmes is available. Got cut today by the New York Jets. Nate Burleson would interest me more than Jacoby Ford. These guys would interest me more, I think, than Kenny Britt. Favorite of yours? Okay, I get that. I can accept that. I just don't know that that would be the guy that I would be all excited about getting, at least at this stage. Just taking a look at some of the linebackers who are going to be available. And, again, we mentioned some of the names earlier. A lot of people are on to Brandon Spikes, I know. I like Arthur Motes, by the way, hits the free agent market tomorrow at 4. Pretty good, reliable backup for the Bills. What about Darryl Smith, who played for Baltimore last year? I kind of like him as much as I like Brandon Spikes, I think. Now, there's a lot of names out there. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to one of the newest Buffalo Bills. He was signed to a futures contract by the team back in mid-January. A Western New York native, Pioneer High School graduate, native of Arcade, New York, Randy Colling joins us when we return on the show. Got all the ways to go tonight. We're here until 9 o'clock. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're here live till 9 o'clock tonight with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. And live tomorrow, noon to 3 on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550, as we approach NFL free agency tomorrow afternoon at 4. Well, a free agent signing that came kind of quietly in about the second or third week of January, a futures free agent signing for the Buffalo Bills. They had signed a couple of players, including our next guest. He is a native of Arcade, New York, a graduate of Pioneer High School, and played his college football at Gannon University in Erie, Pennsylvania. We're happy to have live on the line with us right now Buffalo Bill offensive line prospect Randy Colling. Randy, thank you for being on the air with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's good to talk to you finally. I heard good things. In fact, Bill scouts were telling me that you've been spending a lot of time out here, I guess, in the mornings in the weight room, huh?
Oh, yeah, man. I've been out there about 3 times a week, and I got a good program going for me, and I'm seeing gains already, so that's good.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, Randy. Let's start with your high school career at Pioneer High School in Arcade, New York. Did you have any inkling at all that you could possibly be an NFL player when you were playing at Pioneer?
I had a small one, but it was always just a dream in the back of my head, you know.
Did you grow up as a Bills fan, Randy?
Yeah, I did. I was always, you know, sitting around with my family, watching every game. I even went to a few games.
Yeah, what did you think of the experience coming here to Ralph Wilson Stadium for games?
Oh, man, I love the Ralph. The fans are crazy, you know, every year, no matter what. So.
Hey, Randy, not only were you a standout high school football player at Pioneer, you also were an outstanding wrestler, right? New York State Wrestling Tournament three times in sixth place, and then a couple of third place finishes. Obviously, you were a pretty good wrestler in your high school days.
Yeah, man, and I definitely think along the way that helped me with my football.
How does that help, Randy?
I mean, it helps me with my agility. It helps me move faster, use my hands better, and, you know, gives me a few extra advantages against these other guys.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that, and I've heard that said that wrestling in particular helps players with their hands. We should note that at Gannon University, you played defensive line. You actually played defensive line for Pioneer also, right?
Yeah, I've actually played D-line my whole career, and even in the AFL.
Yeah, arena football. And do you find that the wrestling experience, how would that hand movement, how would that help you up on the defensive line, Randy?
I mean, it helps you a lot with your moves, because if they stop your first move, you got to be quick to change to your next move. And, you know, you're usually not going to get by with just one hand, so the speed helps a lot.
We're on the line with Randy Colling, who is with the Buffalo Bills, and he's been here working out a futures free agent signee about 6 weeks ago, back in mid-January. Randy, what took you to Gannon University right down the road in Erie, Pennsylvania? How'd you wind up there?
You know, I wasn't really getting any crazy offers or anything, and I went on a visit there, and, you know, I liked the campus. I liked how the coaches were and the kind of things they were saying, and you know, they offered me a good amount, and for the next few days, I was signing, so that's about it.
Yeah, Gannon, of course, Division II football. You are the first Gannon University player ever to be a Division II All-American first-teamer, first Gannon player to be Associated Press Little All-American since 1949. Did you get better during your years at Gannon University, Randy?
Oh, yeah, I definitely I got a lot better, because when I was in high school, I was playing defensive end, and I was playing stand-up defensive end, which, you know, in college I went in there, and it was everything, put your hands on the ground, and you don't usually see that standing position. So, I mean, helped me with my technique, and my coaches were great with that, so I definitely got a lot of games when I was there.
And all of this as a defensive lineman. Were you an interior defensive lineman, Randy?
Yeah, I was. I played tackle usually on the guard.
Following your leaving Gannon University, you did get to some mini camps, right? In 2012, the Jets and Packers, you went to camps with them?
Right after my mini camp, I actually went Jets and Giants.
Okay.
And then the Packers and Detroit came a little later with tryouts.
Randy, wasn't there, refresh my memory, didn't the Bills bring you in for a look at some point and maybe talk about having you here at a tryout camp?
Oh, yeah, they did, actually. Sometime earlier in camp last year, they brought me in and worked me out as an offensive lineman.
Yeah, and that's where you are now. But before we get to that, I want to talk about the arena football experience. You played the one season as a defensive lineman, right, with the Cleveland Gladiators in arena football. How did that go for you last year?
It went well. It was a new experience. I got to see a lot of bigger and better linemen than I always did in Division II, you know. So I think it definitely made me a lot better, got me used to playing bigger guys.
Arena football is known for, you know, high-scoring offenses and tight quarters and skill position players dominating. Did you like arena football? Did you think were you able to show enough defensively in that kind of frantic arena football pace?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. I mean, every play you were pretty much pass rushing against, unless you were playing like certain teams like the Philadelphia team. But I mean, like I said, that even helped my hands too, because I mean, with all the pass rushing, and I mean, you could pretty much predict what was coming with these high speed offenses, and it definitely made me smarter with the game.
So now back with the Buffalo Bills, Randy, and let's talk about this. First of all, did they talk to you about coming in as an offensive lineman then this year when you got signed in January?
I mean, at first I was told D-line with the possibility of playing O-line, but now it really seems like they're leaning towards the O-line. So,
how do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel fine about it. I feel like, I'll have a good transition, and I'll just keep working and I'll learn on the fly.
Randy, do you have to change, like, your body composition at all to play offensive line? I'm looking at the Cleveland Gladiators. They had you at 6'5", 320 when you played there in Arena League last year. Is that where you are now, and do you have, like, a target of where you want to be when you start working out with the Bills on the field?
Yeah, that's actually where I'm at right now. And, I mean, from what I heard, I think I'm fine right about there.
What do the Bills have in mind for you? Have they said? Are they looking at guard, tackle? Have they spelled it out for you yet?
They haven't really spelled it out, but I mean, I just heard a little bit that most likely guard. But I mean, like I said, I'm really not sure.
And do you have any thoughts, Randy, on what will be, you know, maybe the most difficult parts of that transition? You played defensive line for most of your career and in college and in arena football. What do you think will be the toughest part to convert to being on the offensive line?
Well, the toughest part, I would say, is, you know, getting used to moving backwards and staying on your heels instead of having all your weight forward and firing off the ball.
Randy, I'm sure you've been looking for an NFL shot for at least a couple of years. You get one now with your hometown team. Does that make this even more special for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, growing up, this is my favorite team, and, you know, I love the area, and couldn't have been a better team to go to.
Just think of the ticket request you'll get if you make the team.
Oh, yeah, I got guys trying to get them already.
Randy, what's next? I know you're working out here. What's next on your schedule as far as, you know, the push for a roster spot here with the Buffalo Bills?
Well, you know, keep working out. Like I said, it's three times a week now. I believe it moves to four times soon. And based on CBA and what I've heard, I don't think I'm allowed to work with the coaches much or anything until April. So I'm just waiting for my opportunity to do that.
Well, Randy, we wish you well. I hope I'm going to try to get a chance to stop down and see you. They tell me that you're tearing it up in the weight room, and I have to come in early someday, I guess, if I want to see you there. Randy, thank you very much for being on the air with us, and we'll see you around the hallways here sometime.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Yep. Randy Colling, he is a product of Gannon University, Pioneer High School in Arcade, New York, a local guy trying to make the Bills roster. He was signed back in mid-January as a future signing for the Bills. That means they reserve his rights until, I think, tomorrow, actually, when the league year begins. Then he is official Buffalo Bills property and counting on the roster. Trying to make that transition from the defensive line to the offensive line. Kind of an interesting story to follow over the next weeks and months. We're going to take a break, come back with more. We are have phone lines open if you have any thoughts on free agency, which position the Bills should target. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Our thanks to Randy Colling for joining us, offensive lineman for the Bills. That's a tough thing to do, to switch, I would think, from D-line to O-line. Obviously a project player for the Buffalo Bills, and I would think he would probably agree, an uphill battle for a roster spot. But there he goes, ready to battle. And again, Bill's scouts telling me that the guy's just been working like crazy in the weight room. And that's just about all they can do these days here at the complex, until, because of the CBA, they can't really get together with coaches, not supposed to get together at all with coaches and until the OTAs and off-season workouts begin. Our thanks to him for joining us. It's the eve of free agency. Louis Riddick, you know him, former personnel executive in the league. He's on ESPN, just had an interesting tweet. He said he's being told it's still going to be a buyer's market tomorrow. That said, which team set the pace and open market will be interesting. A buyer's market. That means teams might not jump out of the gate tomorrow in free agency and make big splashes. But it's all speculation at this point. A couple of free agent news items today. Michael Bennett re-signed by the Seattle Seahawks. 4-year, $28.5 million deal, $16 million guaranteed, $10 million in the first year. He was scheduled to hit the free agent market. Seattle's best defensive lineman. He is off the market now. Wide receiver Santonio Holmes on the market, released by the Jets today after a second straight injury where he couldn't stay healthy. He had a $10.75 million salary cap number this year. Primary reason why he was released by the Jets. Just 5 years ago, Santonio Holmes was the Super Bowl MVP. The Dolphins, as you heard, signed Louis Delmas, the safety. He has played his entire career in Detroit. One-year deal worth $3.5 million. Think about that when you think about the $9 million reported request by Jarris Byrd. Not to equate the two, Jarris Byrd is a premium free agent, a very good safety, but $3.5 million on a one-year deal for Louis Delmas. Is there that much difference? I don't know. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, Matt Miller will join us. He is the Bleacher Report NFL Draft lead writer. We'll talk about the draft, get your questions ready on draft prospects, the combine, workouts, etc. Matt Miller joins us when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
Is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop CJ Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, yeah. Hold hand. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. We come to you live from One Bills Drive tonight, as we will tomorrow. 12 noon tomorrow. We're live 12 noon to 3 p.m. right here from our studios at One Bills Drive. We'll be broadcasting live on our flagship WGR Sports Radio 550 in Buffalo to get you all set up for free agency, which starts at 4 p.m. So tune in live tomorrow from 12 noon to 3 p.m. Bills GM Doug Whaley among our guests coming up tomorrow night. It is the personnel season in the NFL, obviously, with free agency starting tomorrow. The draft not that far away. We've already gone through the bowl games, the postseason all-star games, and, of course, the combine a couple of weeks ago. Joining us on the line is the NFL draft lead writer for BleacherReport.com, Matt Miller. Matt, good evening. Good to have you on the air with us tonight.
Good to be on with you guys. Thanks for having me.
How much attention do you pay to free agency? I know most of your attention is focused on the draft, but obviously free agency is a major component of the NFL offseason.
Yeah, free agency is, like you said. It's a big part of, I think, anyone who covers the draft. You have to be keyed into free agency to understand, you know, not only team needs, but, you know, the type of players that an organization wants. And I'm in kind of a unique situation with Bleacher Report where I'm able to cover the NFL in season, and then shift over and cover the draft, you know, after a couple of teams get a losing record. So I kind of handle duty for both, and that's kind of how I would prefer it. It's more fun that way. So I'll be as busy as everyone else tomorrow, covering free agency, analyzing the players as they sign with new teams, and trying to give everyone more of a scouting and evaluation type focus on those moves.
Right.
And, you know, it's interesting because I see there are a ton of people who do mock drafts even this time of year, and we're, you know, still about 2 months away from the first day of the NFL draft. But without knowing what a team does in free agency, where they stand late April or early May this year, it's hard to kind of assign this player in the draft to a particular team, isn't it? You don't really know what their needs are for the next 6 weeks or so.
Right, and that's what I always tell people. I think mock drafts this time of year are a lot of fun, and they can be really informative. If you're trying to educate the fan base about, you know, pre-free agency needs and then matching those needs with the value of the player. So, you know, if we're talking about a mock draft last week, then I think, you want to, you know, tell Houston Texans fans what their needs are, you know, help, especially a team like the Bills, where, you know, there's no clear-cut number one need for that franchise. So I think you can lay out different scenarios and try to, you know, show fans what an off-season of team building might look like and what direction they might go. But this time of year, you're not going for a whole lot of accuracy on your mock drafts, for sure.
Talking on the line with Matt Miller, Bleacher Report's NFL Draft lead writer. If you have a comment or question on your favorite draft prospect or some of the guys in the draft this year, the phone lines are open at 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Hey, man, I read it on the air a minute ago, a tweet from Louis Riddick, who I think is a pretty astute personnel guy from ESPN, former personnel guy in the league. He said he anticipates it's going to be a buyer's market in free agency tomorrow. In other words, teams might not have to overpay dramatically the first day out of the box. Do you have a feeling for that, how this free agent year might go in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm a huge fan of Louis Riddick. He's a great guy. I've learned a ton from watching his tweets and talking to him online and offline, and I agree. I think it will be a buyer's market. You see all these teams have so much money, but I think the teams hold the cards, and they're going to be able to set the market. And I think a lot of teams have a similar strategy now, and that they don't want to overspend, so they're going to be a little more conservative, especially first day. Last year we saw the Miami Dolphins spend crazy money. There still might be a team that does that, but I think we're going to see that as Lewis kind of alluded to, the teams definitely hold the cards, and I think it's going to be more of a buyer's market as opposed to last year was such a player's market. But I think the depth of the draft this year definitely changes a lot of teams' focus, and I think they're going to be looking more ahead to, hey, we could get a guy like this in the draft, so we're be willing to give you a 3 or 4 year deal, but it's going to be at our cost and not at the big expenses that a lot of people might hope to see for the player.
Well, that's a really good point, and I didn't think about that. If the draft is as deep as many people think it is, they can use that as a negotiating chip. The teams can when it comes to signing some of these free agents, right? The way NFL teams look at it now, they would much rather draft a player and pay him that, under the rookie salary structure than they would overspend for a guy who might be the equivalent or maybe just slightly better.
Yeah, I think so. And the draft class thing is going to be huge this year, I think, because there are just so many people believe that this is a great year, a great draft class. We heard at the combine, Kevin Colbert of the Steelers say, this is the best draft class he's seen in his 30 years of doing this job. So I think we are going to see more of that where, hey, there's a lot of great offensive guards in this class. I could draft one in the third round and pay him $850,000 a year. So if you're a top tier guard in free agency, you maybe aren't going to get the huge money that you would expect to get down the road. And I think that's going to go for a lot of positions. Quarterback maybe would be the one spot where you would want to spend, but this year's quarterback class is so thin that you're probably not going to see that.
Do you believe this draft class is that good, Matt? And if so, what makes it so good?
I do believe that it's a good draft class. And I think, obviously it's helped by the 100 underclassmen that have come out and entered the class. So you take an already pretty strong senior class and add that much talent, it definitely helps. But just the depth at so many positions, defensive end, great depth. You look at left tackle, you might see 5 or 6 guys drafted in the first round again this year. Even a wide receiver, almost 20 juniors come out early. Juniors and redshirt sophomores at wide receiver, the depth there is outstanding. And I think you have some elite talent. We all know about Jadeveon Clowney. Greg Robinson from Auburn, I think, is a once-in-a-decade type athlete and prospect at left tackle. Sammy Watkins, definitely up there in the conversation, one of the best receiving prospects I've ever seen. So I think you definitely have, just a good group of guys with a ton of talent at the top, and that helps. And the depth is good, too. We're going to see guys drafted in the second and third round, so I think in a more normal year, they might be a first-round pick.
Our guest is Matt Miller, NFL Draft lead writer for Bleacher Report. The lines are open if you have a comment for him, 803-0550. Let me dive into some of these draft prospects, Matt. In particular, you mentioned about the depth at wide receiver. The Buffalo Bills sit there with the 9th pick right now. Two-part question. One, is there any chance at all that Sammy Watkins could be there at number 9? And two, if not, is Mike Evans of Texas A&M, does he warrant the 9th overall pick?
Well, I don't think Sammy Watkins will be there, unfortunately, because I think he would be a lot of fun to see in that offense and with the young players they have, the speed they have. Mike Evans will most likely be there, and I do think he's worth the number 9 overall pick. You're talking about a guy with rare size-speed combination, which is what I always like to see in the wide receiver position. With his size, with his length, the big catch radius, we've saw at Texas A&M, he's great in the red zone. And I think that would be a nice contrast to some of, the Bills right now, that depth chart, a lot of smaller receivers. Robert Woods isn't a big guy. Stevie Johnson's not the biggest guy. Marquise Goodwin, smaller type of profile player. So I think Mike Evans would be a great addition there. And in a similar note, I think Eric Ebron at tight end wouldn't be a huge stretch for them there either. If maybe Mike Evans goes off the board a little earlier than expected, I don't think the depth from Evans to Ebron is that huge. And in this day and age, a good tight end who can flex out and play in the slot is just as valuable as a good wide receiver.
In your scouting notebook, which you posted on Bleacher Report just last week, Mike Evans was one of your five up players, but you mentioned it took you several sit-downs to fully understand and appreciate him. What did you see the more you looked at him? What did you miss earlier, I guess, too?
Well, I think the more you look at him, you start to appreciate kind of little things that he does. You know, when I would watch on Saturdays, just watching on TV, watching A&M play, you see Johnny Manziel running around and making crazy throws, and it's like, oh, well, then he finds Mike Evans open, and it's a big play. But when you can break that down on the coach's film and see what Evans does to get open, I think you gain an appreciation for how he's able to, you know, find ways to separate from defenders, whether it's with his body, you know, with his speed, with good footwork. I think his timing is something that you really come to appreciate the more you watch. And then just the way that he attacks the ball. You know, he's not one of those guys that's going to sit back and wait for the ball to come to him. He's going to high point it. He'll jump to catch the ball. He'll work back, make catches in traffic with guys on his back. So I think he's a much smarter receiver than maybe is given credit for, especially having left as a redshirt sophomore. I think he's a lot more NFL ready than I maybe assumed that he would have been when I kind of made my first pass through watching them play.
Yeah. You know what, man? I watched his workout at the Combine there in Indy a couple weeks ago. I was there in Indy, and obviously impressed by his size, and he's got like these clothes-hanger shoulders. You can see where the catching radius comes from. But the one thing I noticed, he doesn't appear to be like a I know his speed's okay, but he doesn't appear to be like a real smooth route runner. Would you agree with that assessment?
I would agree, yeah. I mean, he's a little stiff, and you almost kind of expect that from a guy who's as big as he is, you know, 6'4", 230 pounds. You expect a little bit of stiffness. You know, rarely is a guy like Calvin Johnson, who's a fluid runner with that size. But I think that's where he has to get better at the next level, is being more smooth in his transitions, especially if we're talking about breaking routes. He's going to have to get smoother. He's going to have to be more, you know, concise making those cuts. But with his, like you said, the catch radius, those big, broad shoulders, you know, with his height, with the long arms, I think he immediately is a, you know, almost like a post-up threat, you know, like a, he'd be a power forward in basketball. Just throw the ball up and let him box out and go get it.
We're on the line with Matt Miller, Bleacher Report's NFL Draft lead writer. Let's take a call for Matt from Raphael in Buffalo. You're on the air, Raphael. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to ask if you felt there were any cornerback prospects in this draft that could play both cornerback and safety.
Cornerbacks who could play both corner and safety, Matt. Does anybody come to mind?
Well, there's definitely some guys. I think, first off, Jimmy Ward from Northern Illinois would be a guy who is listed as a safety, but I know a lot of teams see him as a guy who could come in and contribute in nickel packages and play in those types of situations. Deion Bailey from USC is another guy who I know teams have looked at him as both a free safety prospect, also a corner. And if you're talking about guys who would maybe go the opposite way, going from corner to free safety, you could definitely look at Philip Gaines from Rice as one of those types of players, a guy who could definitely bump back and play free safety if needed. We saw Marquestin Huff do that at the Senior Bowl, a kid from Wyoming. He can play safety or corner. So there is some talent there, not necessarily top-level guys. Jimmy Ward would be the first one most likely off the board among that group. But there's definitely, if you're looking in that third, fourth-round range, there are some guys who could easily play either spot.
Matt Miller, our guest. He is the NFL draft lead writer for Bleacher Report. Lines open at 803-0550 or outside Buffalo toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Hey, Matt, last Tuesday, Khalil Mack, linebacker, University at Buffalo, he and the UB Bulls held their pro day right here at One Bills Drive. I had a chance to watch it. He put up better numbers running, and I don't think anybody was surprised. And you say that the scouts are talking to him about not even making it out of the top five in the draft now.
Right, and I think Khalil Mack is just, I mean, you guys know he's a special athlete, good instincts as well. I just keep going back to that Ohio State game where he single-handedly was just a dominant force against that Buckeye offense, and I think he's a player a lot of teams are going to get excited about. And in that top five, we don't see a run on quarterbacks, and that's looking more and more likely as we get closer to the draft, that I think Mack is one of those guys who could go, I mean, someone could move into number two if the Rams don't want him. Jacksonville at three would have to definitely take a look at him. I know the Browns at four are probably out, but even Oakland at five, I mean, they would love to have an athletic pass rusher like that. So depending on how these teams feel about the quarterbacks and where they come off the board, and Mack is is hands down one of the top non-quarterbacks in this year's class.
I want to get back to that quarterback thing in a second, but first let me work in a phone call here from Mark in New Jersey. Hi, Mark. You're on the air with Matt Miller.
Yeah, hi, John. I just wanted to ask you how you felt Julius Thomas compares to Ebron, or Ebron compares to Julius Thomas. They look like the same kind of player, the way they move around, you know, outside in the slot, and just their game looks so similar. I was wondering how you felt those two players compared to each other, and what do you fit the bills?
Could you hear that one, Matt?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. What I would say is that Ebron is a better blocker, especially if we're going to compare them as players coming out of college. And I know that's not incredibly fair to Julius Thomas, given his background, but I think Ebron will help you out more on rundowns early on. But from an athletic standpoint, yeah, you're spot on there with his ability to play out in the slot. I think my comparison for Ebron was with Vernon Davis coming out of Maryland with that, you know, kind of raw ability and just is able to win with his athleticism. But I think, you know, Julius Thomas, Vernon Davis, these are all guys kind of in a similar vein. So I wouldn't argue with that comparison at all.
Hey, Matt, let me go back to something you said, and I want to make sure I understand. You said it's more likely that we do not see a run on quarterbacks in the first round. Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, that's the way it's looking, and that does surprise me because there are some higher-profile quarterbacks, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, and you know as well as anyone how these things go this time of year. But it does sound like a lot of these teams aren't sold on the quarterbacks, and we've seen some moves to solidify guys. You know, the Vikings bring back Matt Castle. The Texans have been linked to Matt Castle. They've been linked to Ryan Mallett. So it's always tough in March, especially 2 months away from the draft now, because a lot of misinformation going on both sides of the table. But everything I'm hearing around the league is that teams aren't sold on the quarterbacks, which is kind of opposite of how I have them ranked. I think Teddy Bridgewater is the best quarterback in this class. I think he's a year one starter, franchise-level quarterback. But that definitely isn't something that every NFL team agrees with.
You know who I don't get, Matt? And I've said this to a couple of people, and I watch him at the Combine. I don't get Blake Bortles. I mean, people talk about him being among the potential first-round quarterbacks, and I see the size and the stature, et cetera, but I don't understand. What am I missing with Blake Bortles? What do you think of him?
You know, it's funny, John, because I was kind of driving the hype train for him, and then I was at the scouting combine, and I was talking to a buddy of mine who scouts in the league. We were talking about Bortles, and he's like, you need to go back and watch and tell me how good is he if he never gets better. And that really stumped me. It was like, oh, well, okay, I'll do that. So I come home and start watching the cut-ups, and he was right. I mean, Bortles, if he never gets better, is, you know, I mean, Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker-type quarterback, because his footwork is pretty bad. I don't hardly ever see him get to a second read. You know, he's a good athlete. He extends the pocket really well and makes some crazy throws there. But in the NFL, where everyone's faster, those throws have to be tighter. They have to be a second faster. I worry about that, and I think that's something that happens with these juniors. They declare, and you've seen them on TV, and you've maybe watched one game, a coach's film, and you're pretty excited about the guy, but the more time you have to dig in and really scrutinize their play, you just kind of sour on the guys, and that happens with me every year with quarterbacks. And I'd say Bortles this year is the guy that I get less confident about the closer we get to the draft.
Bortles that much, you know, head and shoulders better than Derek Carr, another guy who probably will be drafted in the first round?
I don't think so. I actually like Derek Carr quite a bit. I like his readiness. I like that he's played in a couple different offenses. I love that his brother didn't succeed in the NFL, because I think he's had to learn, you know, what that failure feels like for the family. And, you know, he's a hard worker. I've spent quite a bit of time with him at the Senior Bowl, at the Combine, and throughout this whole process. I think he's, you know, mature, obviously, off the field, on it. He's got a big arm. We saw that at the Senior Bowl, you know, with his arm strength cutting through the wind down there in Mobile. And, you know, yeah, he does some things poorly, but I think you could say that about almost every player in this year's class. So I like Derek Carr. I'm with you. I think he's probably a guy who should be drafted in the first round. We'll see if that actually happens or not. But I have him graded as a guy who should be drafted in the top 15 this year.
And we can't talk about this year's draft without mentioning Johnny Manziel. I've heard people say that he is like a classic boom or bust type of prospect. Could be great. Could be a big mistake. Where do you come down on that?
Oh, that's perfect. I think I last compared him to a lottery ticket. You know, you have no idea what you're going to get. You might hit it rich, and you may waste your $5. I mean, it's so tough to tell. And I think a lot of it is going to depend on who you surround him with. You know, what type of coaches he has, what type of playmakers he has around him. And he's going to do some exciting things. Yeah, that's a guarantee. but how well that, you know, kind of scrambling, crazy play in the pocket translates for, you know, over in the NFL remains to be seen. And he's one of the toughest evaluations I've ever had on a quarterback. Because of that, I don't think anyone can say with any confidence this is how good he'll be in the NFL. You just try to look at his traits and do your best to project, you know, where he could get better, where he maybe can't get better, and you know, what might happen once he gets to the NFL.
Just a couple minutes left with our guest, Matt Miller, the lead NFL draft writer for Bleacher Report. I wonder, when I hear you talk about Manziel, a lot of people feel in a similar way about Jadeveon Clowney. Nobody disputes the athletic ability, but some people think it could be a risky draft pick. You have him going number one in your latest mock draft. We talked about mock drafts a minute ago, to the Houston Texans. But what do you think of Clowney, and will he in fact be the first name off the board?
I think that Clowney can be the best defensive end in the NFL. With his size, with the speed, we talked earlier about how long Mike Evans is. I mean, Clowney is freakishly long and fast and explosive. I mean, if you were like, I guess if you were creating a defensive end on Madden, you would probably want them to look and move like Jadeveon Clowney. The question is, like you said, is he going to give max effort? And I think if he goes to Houston, I think there's a good chance of that. I think that's a great environment for him because it's not, you know, a huge, exciting city with a big nightlife. You have J.J. Watt, who's one of the hardest workers in the NFL. You have Brian Cushing. And you have a coaching staff that's very hard-nosed. You've got a strength coach there that he's familiar with. Clowney was with their strength coach for a year at South Carolina. So I think that's a great environment for him to be surrounded by professionals, to be surrounded by coaches who are going to ride him a little bit and you know, really push him to get max effort. But there's always the other side of that. You know, once a guy gets paid, those of us in the media have a very hard time really projecting what will happen because we don't spend a lot of time with these kids, not as much as teams do. So that's always a concern, you know, how driven and how motivated are they? I think anyone who watched Clowney play last year, that's a legitimate question. You know, is he driven to be great? And that's not something I can answer, unfortunately.
And one more question for you, Matt. And I came across this in your scouting notebook that you posted last week. You wrote that the NFL draft is as much about projection as it is about production, maybe more projection even. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think when you evaluate players, and this is like an ongoing conversation that those of us in the draft community kind of have, is that too many people hone in on what a guy does in college. You know, they'll say, you know, Johnny Manziel can only throw slant routes, for example. And that's maybe all he did at Texas A&M, but you have to project what he can do in the NFL. And Sammy Watkins is a guy I see kind of condemned a lot because he ran a lot of screen passes and didn't stretch the field. But I think you have to remember that Clemson is doing whatever they can to win ball games, not try to prepare Watkins for the NFL. And so that's just a big takeaway I try to always remind myself of, is that when I'm watching these guys play, not to get too caught up in what he's doing on Saturday, but how those traits and skills will project to Sunday.
It's good stuff, man. We appreciate your insights tonight. I always enjoy your insights on Bleacher Report. I hope we can do it again sometime before the draft in a couple of months.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot. Matt Miller, he is the NFL draft lead writer for BleacherReport.com. His scouting notebook is up, just went up last Thursday, I believe. Yeah, last Thursday. Some really good insights, post-combine, pre-draft. As we said, the draft's still a couple of months away, but you can check out Matt's work at BleacherReport.com. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're on the air tonight until 9 o'clock, and if you have thoughts on the draft or free agency, the phone lines are open, 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. We're back with more in a moment. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Our thanks to Matt Miller. Some really good draft insight from Matt Miller. You can catch his stuff at BleacherReport.com. It's good to, I mean, people like that, it kind of puts things in perspective, which is what we're looking for, quite frankly. Hey, we're wide open from now until 9 o'clock, so you got about 25 minutes or so if you'd like to phone in anything at all about the draft, the free agency, which starts tomorrow. We've said it a couple times, but make sure you tune in tomorrow, 12 noon. We'll be live on the air from 12 noon to 3 p.m. with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO on our flagship in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. But if you just can't wait until tomorrow, call us up tonight. Lines are open, 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We started out the show talking about free agency, and if you got an opportunity to choose, what position would you focus on? for the Buffalo Bills in free agency. And if you have thoughts on that, call us up at 803-0550. There's a fan poll up at BuffaloBills.com with the same question. And about 2,000 fans have responded. An offensive line is now the leader in the clubhouse as the polling goes on. 39% of Bills fans responding say offensive line would be the position the Bills should address in free agency this year. When we started the show an hour and a half ago, it was linebacker. Right now, linebacker is 34%. So if you add that together, 39%, 34%, you're talking about 73%, or about three-quarters of Bills fans responding believe that either offensive line or linebacker should be the position they should focus on. I would cast my vote. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to cast my vote for linebacker. They won't make it close, but still. Now, 10% say tight end, 9.5% say wide receiver, 5% say cornerback, and the rest say other. You can vote on that as well online at BuffaloBills.com. Or if you have more to say on it, you can dial us up. Give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. What position would you focus on if you were the Buffalo Bills in free agency? Free agency opens tomorrow at 4. I say linebacker. I think there are a couple of guys I'd be interested in. Jameel McClain, street free agent, who was in here last week for a visit. I would look at him. I would look at him a lot. I understand people like Brandon Spikes. I like Jameel McClain a little bit better, though. So I would look at that. Jasper Brinkley, who the Bills had in here last week, has elected to remain with Minnesota. I like Darryl Smith. He is 31 years old. Former Jacksonville Jaguar, had a great year with Baltimore, surrounded by good players, obviously, in Baltimore. But I like Darryl Smith. I think those would be my three. And maybe I'll rank them in this order. I would rank linebackers. This is my wish list for free agency, linebackers in free agency. My wish list for the Buffalo Bills. Jameel McClain would be number one from the Baltimore Ravens. Darryl Smith would be number two. Brandon Spikes would be number three. I'd go linebacker. Where would you go? Lines are open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Here's Frank in Getzville. Hi, Frank. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, John. You know, first of all, I think the Bills should sign Carpenter. I think whatever money that we saved on Jarris Bird, we should spend on Carpenter, because I thought he had one of the best years of any Bills kicker last year. And as far as the draft is concerned, I think they should just go for the best available athlete and wait till the final cuts in August to pick up some people, too.
Huh. Interesting on Carpenter. I agree with you, and I think they do want to talk to Dan Carpenter about signing. I think because of when he was signed and the nature of his veteran contract, they have been prohibited from doing that until the free agent market opens tomorrow at 4 p.m. I wouldn't be surprised if they get that done. I think Carpenter liked playing here, had a career year here. The elements, not an issue coming from Florida, not an issue at all. They do have a backup at that position, which will play into it in Dustin Hopkins, but I do think they want Dan Carpenter back in, and I think they'll get that done, I think, pretty quickly. Let's go to Sean in Florida. Hi, Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, John, yes, greetings from Florida, Sunshine State. I got a question for you about Jarris Bird and the safety position. I really wish we could keep him, but I know they just, since they re-signed Aaron Williams to the extension, do you think that, considering if we do lose Jarris Bird, safety would be an issue that we would need to address also to get somebody picked up either through either free agency or through the draft? Because we got some nice talent, I think, with Searcy and Jonathan Meeks and Duke Williams. And I also think Jim Leonard also did good, too, while Jarris Bird was out those beginning games of the season. I just wanted to hear what you thought, thoughts.
All right, good question, Sean. I don't think that would be high on their list in either free agency or in the draft, you know, trying to replace Jarris Bird. They have not closed the door on Jarris Bird, you know that, and depending on how things go tomorrow or the next couple of days, remains to be seen whether he gets back here as, you know, with the Buffalo Bills. I think it's unlikely. We've said that for the last week or so. I guess I'd stay with my prediction of, you know, just a 20% chance that Jarris Bird would be back. So I do think they're backed up pretty good there, though. Aaron Williams, as you said, locked up as of last week, an extended contract. Denoris Searcy has pretty extensive playing time on the back end of the defense. They like what they saw in a limited basis from Duke Williams last year, and to, I think, a slightly lesser extent, Jonathan Meeks. So I do think there's some talent back there, and enough that I don't think there would be and push to get a safety in here. Would they draft one? Maybe. Would they look at some veteran help at safety? Maybe. But I don't think it would be a big push for the Bills. There are some safeties on the market. A lot of people like Mike Mitchell from Carolina, who's going to be out in the on the free agent market. That it might be something the Bills would take a look at. Bill Polian's been pushing Antoine Bethea a lot on the air. Is it Bethea or Bethea? I get them mixed up. Dante Whitner, I would have no interest in. It sounds like the Cleveland Browns are lining him up. So there are some veteran safety names on the free agent market, but none of them would appeal to me to the extent that I would make a push for them if I were the Buffalo Bills. And when we talk about safeties, obviously Jarris Byrd is front and center, at least as far as Bills fans are concerned. He'll hit the open market at 4 p.m. tomorrow. If, in fact, it is a seller's market, as Lewis Riddick said and Matt Miller kind of echoed a minute ago, or two ago, you wonder if Jarris Byrd gets the kind of money that he's looking at least right out of the box. And let's kind of retrace our steps from earlier in the show. The ESPN.com report today that Jarris Byrd and his representation are looking for $9 million a season. That's a lot of money for a safety. It would be only second only to Eric Berry of the Kansas City Chiefs. He's got 6 years, $60 million. Jarris Byrd looking for, according to the ESPN report, $9 million a year. Deshaun Goldson of Tampa Bay, Eric Weddle of the Chargers, got recent free agent deals that average $8 million per season. We don't know. There's, the veracity of these numbers is unknown because it's you know, it's deception time for agents and to a lesser extent teams. But the report came out last week that in the contract offer the Bills made to Jarris Byrd before they elected not to put the franchise tag on him, the offer included $30 million, not guaranteed, but $30 million over the first 3 years, an average of $10 million. And I don't think it takes too much to look at a deal. I mean, the Bills wouldn't want to pay that, wouldn't want to just have him for 3 years. They would want to amortize that over 5 years. That's why you do long-term deals to make it easier against the cap. So imagine, again, this is off the top of my head, this thought occurred to me probably while I was shaving today, as most of my good ideas come, that they probably, if you accept that number, $30 million over the first 3 years, and then there are probably two more years after that, totaling another $10 million. So it was probably a five-year deal, averaging out to be about $8 million per year for Jarris Byrd. That was what I'm guessing. I have no inside info. That's what I'm guessing the Bills had on the table. With $30 million loaded into the first 3 years and, you know, $5 million each of the last two. And again, the key numbers in any of these contracts, not so much the per-season average, but what's up front, how much money can be made the first couple of years, and what's guaranteed. I can imagine the Bills put that on the table, and it's just a guess. You know, $40 million over 5 years, averages $8 million a year. Very competitive with the top couple of safeties in the league. Extremely competitive with that. And Jarris Byrd, if in fact he wants $9 million a year, would say, no, that doesn't average what I'm looking to get. And I think overriding all of this is the fact that Jarris Byrd, I believe, has wanted to test the market for a couple of years for a variety of reasons, mostly money. But he has wanted to be on the market to test what his value is. He said that. He said that for more than a year now. He was looking forward to seeing what his value is on the market. He's going to see tomorrow. Is he going to get my $9 million a year? Maybe. Is when it's all said and done, is his agent, Eugene Parker, going to make it look like he got $9 million a year? I would bet money on that because that's what these agents do. He's, you know, Eugene Parker, mostly because he's got other clients to attract. He's got to demonstrate to them that, look what I did for Jarris Byrd. He got $9 million a year. He did better than what the Bills offered and better with than what many safeties are getting on the market this year. So I don't know. I'm just playing this out in my head. I don't know how it's going to work out. Aaron Williams is back there on the Bills' defensive secondary. He got his contract extension last week. We talked about that and talked to Aaron a lot about that last week. He appeared this morning on the NFL Network on the NFL AM show. Aaron Williams, believe it or not, going into his fourth season in the league, is going to be on his fourth defensive coordinator in the league. Isn't that amazing? It is kind of amazing when you think about it. George Edwards in his rookie year under Chan Gailey. Dave Wanstead in his second year under Chan Gailey. Mike Patton last year. And now Jim Schwartz, the defensive coordinator for the Bills. On his NFL Network appearance this morning, Aaron Williams was asked about all that turnover going on his fourth defensive coordinator in his 4 years in the league.
I wish I had a clear answer for that, but I've had enough practice to deal with. If we
lose Schwartz or anybody, that, you know, we just got to move on. I mean, I know you guys understand the business side of it, where, you know, a coach has an opportunity just like we have opportunities, you know, to make more money or to be in a position where, you know, we dream to be. Obviously, they're going to take it. You know, we can't dwell on it. We got to move on from it. We have Coach Schwartz now, and, you know, we're all prepared to learn from his playbook and see schematically how he wants us to be. And, you know, as long as the guys are in the playbook, busting their butt, trying to get better to have a successful season, we're all for it.
Aaron Williams appearing on the NFL AM show this morning on the NFL Network. Going to take a break. Phone lines remain open. Your thoughts on the upcoming free agency starts at 4 p.m. tomorrow. Or anything else, Darris Byrd, the NFL draft, we've got time to talk about it when we return. 803-0550, the number. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Tonight, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Couple of minutes left. We're here till 9 tonight. Tomorrow, did you hear we're on at noon tomorrow? I've probably said that about 300 times, but I want you to listen in. We got a good show tomorrow from 12 noon to 3 p.m. on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. Doug Whaley's going to be on with us live, Bills general manager on the eve of free agency. And I just got the text back from our good pal, Takeo Spikes. Really, probably one of the all-time great Bills free agent signings, Takeo Spikes. Probably a long time ago. I'm afraid to think how long ago it was. So I sent him a text message earlier today, 2:20 this afternoon, and he just got back to me during the last break. Here's his response, classic Takeo. What up, Murph? I can do it at 2. So Takeo is going to be with us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Great guy, great free agent signing. Was there ever a free agent who was more excited about coming to Buffalo than Takeo Spikes was? A lot of it, obviously, you know, the legend by now had to do with his appearance in his last game with the Bengals on the field at Ralph Wilson Stadium, and the reception he got from fans. That's how good the fans are here, already targeting him. The fans had him targeted as a free agent guy they should pursue. And he came and did very well. So Takeo Spikes, part of our show tomorrow, 2 p.m. Chris Brown will be live with us tomorrow. We will preview free agency tomorrow from 12 noon to 3 p.m. on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. A couple of minutes left here. The phone line still open. If you have comments or questions, 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You may want to weigh in on what position group you would target if you were the Buffalo Bills entering free agency tomorrow. A couple of other items that came to my attention today, NFL-type news. Playoff expansion. We've talked about this a couple times. We should probably do a whole segment on it because it is fairly important. Especially, it might be something that will get voted on in 2 weeks at the NFL owners meeting in Orlando, Florida. There's talk, as you know, of the league expanding by one playoff team per conference, so two more teams, to make 7 teams in each conference getting in the playoffs. This would all go into effect in 2015, not the upcoming year. 7 teams, each conference in the playoffs. Instead of 2 byes in the first round, there'd be 1 bye, so there would be 6 teams playing. 3 games per conference, 3 winners, and then the team that gets the bye joins in the next week, and then you're into essentially your quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. It turns out that the NFL Players Association would have to weigh in on that idea. That news came out today. George Atala, the executive of the NFL Players Association, didn't say whether he's for it or against it, but he said raising the number of playoff teams from 12 to 14 does fall under the league CBA because it means additional games for a couple of teams. The union has objected to expanding the regular season by 2 games. This is postseason. You wonder if what the players' union, how they would come out on that. The competition committee has begun initial discussions about expanded playoffs. That might that expansion talk of the playoffs might really start up in earnest at the owners' meeting. The NFL meeting's coming up just a couple of weeks away in Orlando, Florida. But the union, the NFLPA, says, hey, if you're going to expand the playoffs, we've got something to say about it. What I like about it, and I mean, the cynical person would say, well, then the Bills will have a better chance. That's true. They would. But put that aside. The league is desperately trying, and the league is all about continuing to raise money and get more money and get more money from television. It's a way to do it by adding a couple of more playoff teams. You add 1 more playoff game per conference. Those are big money games. They would be worth a lot. and you could instead of I like that a lot better than expanding the regular season to 18 games as has been suggested. So to my mind, that would be a much better than expansion of the regular season, expansion of the playoffs by a couple of games. But you may have a different thought on that. Let's take a call from Pete in Lancaster. Hi, Pete. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Murph. Can anyone explain to me why the Bills aren't going after Scott Chandler with a bit more energy? The guy is a producer for the most part for the Bills the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's been pretty quiet, which I don't know how to interpret. Does that mean the Bills aren't interested? No. I mean, they've said, Whaley and Marone have said to us a couple of times that they understand. I mean, Whaley is a pretty strong advocate for Scott Chandler. I mean, Coach Marone has been. I do think they'd like to re-sign him. I don't know if, and again, I haven't talked to Scott Chandler since the season ended. I don't know if he, in a quieter fashion maybe than Jarris Bird, if Scott Chandler is looking forward to getting a look around the league and his opportunity to see what the market is for him. That wouldn't surprise me. That's his right. I would understand that. But I do think that he is in their plans. I would, and again, I wouldn't be surprised if, I don't know this, but I would not be surprised if the Bills have already made him an offer to come back, and he might just be sitting on it until he sees what's out there tomorrow at 4 p.m. I think they do value what he did last year, leading receiver on the team last year, a good guy in the locker room, good, strong worker. I think he's developed himself into a much more of an all-around tight end than he was a couple of years ago, and I think he likes it here. So I wouldn't be surprised if they do get that done. But you're right, it's been awfully quiet. Good question. We'll bring that up with Doug Whaley tomorrow when he joins us. Live tomorrow with the general manager of the Bills. Tequila Spikes will be live with us tomorrow. Chris Brown will be live with us tomorrow. And we are on the air tomorrow from 12 noon until 3 p.m. to preview free agency. Obviously, there's hockey tomorrow night, so a podcast coming up tomorrow night. So make sure you tune in tomorrow from 12 noon to 3 p.m. for our free agency preview around the NFL, the John Murphy Show on our flagship here in Buffalo, WGR Sports Radio 550. We want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned and locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, Pete Karchus. Our producer, Jay Harris. And the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. 12 noon tomorrow. Set your watches. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.